Well, a hearty welcome, people loved by God. You are listening to Thy Strong Word, a show devoted to reading and to hearing, pondering and proclaiming the powerful word of our gracious giver God, your loving Heavenly Father. It is produced for you by the LCMS Office of National Mission. And it's graciously underwritten in part by the good folks at Lutheran Heritage Foundation, LHFmissions.org. I'm your host, William Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and Chaplain here at our International Center. What a joy to be with you today. As you can tell from yesterday when we did the Psalms, we must be kicking into a new book. And we are indeed. We're kicking into the Gospel of Mark today. Joining us for the exploration, who are you? Oh, yeah. As Pastor John Lukomsky, pastor of Trinity and St. Paul Lutheran Church, Trinity in Darmstadt, St. Paul in New Athens, Illinois, and co-host of Wrestling with the Basics here on Saturday mornings. What a joy to have you with us.
And thank you. This is one of my favorite books of the Bible.
Mine too. I love it.
In fact, if I ever write a book, this is going to be my first book. I'm going to write about the gospel and the gospels. And so you can't do better than starting with Mark, because he's the only one that calls himself a gospel.
There you go. There's so many things that are interesting about it. Because the chapter is rather sizable, we're not going to have time to do a lot of prolegomena on it, but we do want to at least acknowledge in the earliest strands of the church's tradition, this gospel is always associated with St. Peter.
Yep,
right.
Yep.
St. Mark
and Acts says that Mark was like Peter's apostle. So.
Yeah. I think it's actually, isn't it in 1 Peter, 2 Peter? Hold on. It says that Mark was with him. It must be 1 Peter, right? Yeah, Sylvanus, or any dear. No, I don't see. Yeah, okay. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, as does Mark, my son.
Yeah, yeah.
Greet one another with the kiss of love.
What a nice phrase, my son.
Yeah. So, Peter's the key, though. Because you can. This is I've said repeatedly, and you can take this gospel and make it jump to life if you actually flip it all into the first person. I think it's the only gospel that you can actually do that to very simply and easily. And all of a sudden, you know you're listening to Peter because he has this little word that he drops all over the place. Oitus in Greek, or aoutus, but I mean, how do you say it?
Immediately,
straightway, right away. this is Peter, impetuous Peter, boldly rushing in where angels fear to tread. And you could, the pace is all throughout the gospel that way. It's like, if you're trying to actually sort out what happened in the ministry of Jesus and you only had the Gospel of Mark, you come up with the impression that it all happened in less than a year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just blitz.
And that's the point. We got to get to the cross.
He's racing there. Then when he gets there, what does he do? He lollygags.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, he goes, in fact, this gospel has been called, I guess it's true of all of them, that they've been called passion narratives with prologues.
Yes. Especially John's that way.
John goes on. Yeah, like that. And Mark, for the quick pace, that really is a remark. It's like, it is like, all of a sudden you're coming up short and you're like, oh, wait a minute, stop. Now we don't need to race. This is what it's all about.
What we were going to, yeah.
And then, of course, he's sort of depending on how you think about the endings, it's sort of a toss off at the end. It's just like, and he rose from the dead.
And he leaves with the women leaving in fear, which I love. If that is the original,
the huge discussion. Well, when we get to 16, I'll have to talk about that because it would be highly unusual for a Greek book to end with the word gar.
Yeah.
For. And people have long speculated. So there was another page or something that got lost. And frankly, there, the ending that's there, the church has all kinds of arguments about this, but to me, it's really clear. The longer ending is regarded as canonical by the church.
Yeah.
I mean, she's used it in her rule of faith. It's in our catechism. So when people say, well, that's not authentic, I always want to say, hey, it may not have come from Mark's pen, but the church recognized the same inspired author in the writing of it. The Holy Spirit is the one who's speaking here when it says, go out into all the creation and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Okay. any other kind of introduction you particularly wanted to give to the gospel itself?
Well, just this fact, like you said, that it's I used to call it the Reader's Digest version because it is so short. It's only 16 chapters. But then I realized what it is primarily, it's the action movie version of the gospel, because the teaching is kind of left out. It's all focused on the things that are happening. But then as I was contemplating in preparation for this, it's kind of like the news reporter on the scene version, because like you said, this constant reference to things that this was an eyewitness, and the fact the verbs he uses are not stuff that happened in the past,
right?
But
he just keeps slipping
to
the present.
It's right happening right now, even as I'm writing this down. It's like it's right there before his eyes,
before
our eyes as well.
And that is particularly vivid. I mean, when you're reading it in the Greek, and you see everything, it's like, you know, you're like, what next? You know,
So it's not like John was baptizing. John is baptizing.
John's baptizing, and you know, especially I think the account of the Transfiguration, it really just shines
that way.
Is that right? One other thing I think that's worth picking up: the way that this gospel